Cessmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
Thanks for being with us. We we're back together. Eric and I have not been together in, I think, a week. He was in Vegas, thoroughly enjoying himself. Were you over a toilet, or, I mean, were you thoroughly enjoying yourself? I mean, did you see any basketball? You were sick.
I was not over a toilet, thankfully. Yeah. Yeah. But I was wrapped up like a breakfast burrito in my hotel room.
In Vegas.
Yeah. Thinking to myself, man, this room is freezing. And then I'd walk over and be like, oh, it's 81 degrees in the room. Nope. The room is not freezing. Just my body.
Just you're sick.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't see anything? You saw the ASU game because you did a story on it.
I watched.
Or did you do that from your hotel bed?
No, I actually went to the games. I went to the watch ASU lose. They're now 3-14 in the Pac-12 tournament since 1999. Thank you. That's one of my favorite stats. Not to pile on ASU, but it's hard to be 3-14. It's hard.
It's like I'm all over this stat that there hasn't been a Pac-12 team in the Final Four since 2008.
Another good stat.
I'm all over that. I was throwing that one at Paula yesterday, and I'm going to use that one because until they do something, anything, I don't get wound up about, oh, they made it to the Elite Eight. That's great. No, you're not going to get respect nationally until you get to a Final Four. And I think they actually have a couple teams that could do it this year.
But yeah, I got sick in Vegas getting back, circling back on that. But it's fine. I feel better now. And of all the places to get sick, like I told you, Vegas is the last place you want to get
that.
The flu.
You don't
it's like
that.
Germ Central. You're walking through smoky casinos.
Yeah. Well, but here's the thing. So Eric and I, and we didn't even really talk to one another on Saturday. So this past weekend, Kurt Warner's people asked us if we'd want to be involved with their foundation. Well, of course we do. We like Kurt a lot. And they asked us, would you mind being part of our big event? And we want to give you access that no one else is going to get. So I see Eric on Saturday morning, and we're in the big conference room at the Cardinals facility. Most of you have not been in the Cardinals facility in all likelihood, but there's this big meeting area. And in this meeting area, the players can all sit there and the coaches can be on stage, so on and so forth. I show up, they walk me into the back. Eric's there shooting all of this, and it's Kurt on stage. Help me out here with everybody. It was Fitz, Reggie Bush, LaDainian Tomlinson,
Tyrod Taylor,
Jameis Winston.
Michael Vick,
that's right. Patrick Peterson. Drew Stanton.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it.
I think that's it, yeah.
And Carson Palmer. And so Eric's there shooting, and he's got this Cheshire Cat grin on his face because the people that were allowed to participate in this event were given a chance to do a Q&A. And so they're asking questions like, who's the goofiest player you've ever been with, and who was the guy that scared you the most? And it was about as real a situation as we've seen. It was great. And we don't get to hear that out of players much. And I'm not going to sit here and share the answers, but that was like one of the coolest things we've done as a company.
And you see it a lot with athletes. We usually get the standard post-game, go in the locker room, and they're just sort of, most of them are just sort of wind-up dolls. You pretty much know what you're going
to
get when you ask the
question.
We have
to give them credit. Carson threw me a great pass.
Of course. But when you take these athletes and you put them in the off-season and you put them in a casual setting where they're being asked questions by fans, not necessarily us in the media.
Right.
And they're very different. They're not game-related questions. It's just sort of like you said, who talks the most trash, or what kind of music do you listen to before games? Things that normal media members probably wouldn't ask players. You get a completely different side from these guys.
I mean, I think we can say that the strangest player from Fitz, because I don't think this is out of school, and Carson, they both brought up Dockett and Chike O'Keefer. And Chike was a strange dude when he was here. He just was. He was all about new age and putting rocks on you and all that stuff. And I think that was really, really interesting and fun. And it was just a different event than doing the same old stuff that you can get caught up in doing. And we don't do that. We don't want to do that. There are some things that you go to because you should. But anytime we can do some things that are a little different and be involved in an event like that, I thought it was really cool. So it was good to see. Today on the show, we're going to have Michael Fabiano with us because fantasy football rules, A. B, there's been a whole lot of movement now of players. And so I think it's very appropriate to have Fabs come on and talk about, from a fantasy standpoint, what has happened here with Matt Forte and DeMarco Murray and Brock Osweiler and others that may have flown under the radar, and all the NFL free agency stuff. And, you know, whoever it is that is the quarterback at the Denver Broncos, is this going to be a guy that you have to get? And so we're going to have a lot of fantasy talk with Michael Fabiano coming up here in about 10 minutes. Pedro Gomez will be with us, ESPN Baseball Insider. So we're going to talk to Pedro about, I want to get into him with Goose Gossage and Bryce Harper. That story, when it happened last Thursday, we said it was going to overtake the universe, and I think that it has. Very few guys, I mean, very few baseball players can push all the other sports off to the side. Bryce Harper has been able to do that. That's been the big topic of conversation, I think, in sports, meaningful topic of conversation. Not are the Cardinals going to sign this backup guard. I mean, got it. It's what has it taken for baseball to finally have somebody step up and say that baseball is tired? It's a tired sport. And do you applaud and do you celebrate? And is Pedro into the code of baseball? We hear about the code in baseball. Is Pedro one of those guys that's into the code? So I'll talk to Pedro about that. That'll come up in about 15 minutes. I think tonight, obviously tonight with the start of March Madness, that Wichita State Vanderbilt would not be on anybody's radar if we're talking about sports news of the day, other than it's the winner of this game plays U of A. And I've got Vanderbilt winning this game. So it would be Arizona against Vandy. And I'm of the opinion that the Wildcats can go on a run here in this tournament. And no matter how deep they talk about the conference being, or the brackets being, I should say, in the South region, I do see a path for Arizona to get through this. This is not going to be a tournament. I can't imagine this being a tournament where Kansas is going to end up playing North Carolina for the national championship. I know that sounds just out in left field, because that's the easy way to call this year. The easy way to call it is Kansas, North Carolina. Oh, that's going to be it. I can't see Oregon. Oregon, to me, I saw chinks all over the place in the Pac-12 tournament, especially in the U of A game. Yeah, against Utah, they killed Utah. Ran them off the floor. But you know, I don't see where Oregon is a team that I've got going a long ways. The Suns last night had a win against Minnesota. And you know where my stance is on the Suns. If you're new to the show, because we do partner with the Arizona Republic, so guys, come on board with us. If you're new to the show, I'm of the opinion that the Suns should just lose and lose and lose. They found ways to win. Last night, it showed me why Minnesota has this tremendous young roster and can't find a way to get out of their own way, because the Suns made a big three-point play with 9 seconds to go. And to Lenovic, there was just bad defense by Willie Cauley-Stein. That's the only way to put it, a three-pointer to win the game. It's a nice win for the Suns, and it was one of those games that I can look at and say, you know, if they're able to add A, B, and C, I might feel like this team could turn the corner next year. But because they've not shown me much of anything, I can't feel like anything more than it's a game in late March, mid-March, and that the Suns just found a way to win a game some way, somehow. That was about it. Steph Curry, I was more into Steph Curry last night. There was a play in last night's game. It's gone viral today. Steph Curry is standing over in the corner. Leandro Barbosa drives to the hole, misses a shot, gets the ball back. I mean, Leandro Barbosa is like 2 feet away from the basket for a layup. And instead, of course, he throws it in the corner to Curry, passes up on the easy layup, and Curry just drains a three from downtown. He's changed the game like Magic Johnson. And the Warriors win their 60th. That's of interest to me. I'll get into that a little bit later. Greinke, as we figured, Greinke had a start yesterday where it wasn't Zach Greinke. That's going to happen in spring training. Greinke got knocked around a little bit yesterday, and it's fine. I see these people go, oh my gosh, look at what happened to Greinke yesterday. It's part of spring training. I don't worry about it. They're off today, the Diamondbacks are. They take on the Reds tomorrow. And there was some news in the NFL. The NFL making progress towards a deal that would take Roger Goodell out of the disciplinary spot, which, you know, the way that things were handled last year, with Adrian Peterson and Ray Rice, and you know, just right down the list, you would think a change would be coming. There was that caught my eye. And then the NFL yesterday admitting that, yes, CTE does exist. No kidding. But somebody with the NFL finally cracked under pressure yesterday and said, yes, that this is something, and did it in a very public forum. And Grand Canyon won their game last night. They beat South Carolina State. Who do they play next? Do we know? I mean, they're in the CTE or the CIT or whatever it is. CTE's brain injuries. CIT.
The CIT, I believe they play Jackson State on Thursday night at GCU.
At GCU. All right. That's good stuff.
Good game last night, by the way. Caught the tail end of it. So.
Did you? Good. All right. We're going to take a break here, a little early. Break here, and then Michael Fabiano will join us in a couple of minutes. Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Michael Fabiano joins us now, NFL Network senior fantasy analyst. Free agency is well underway, and the Cardinal fans panicking out. And we're one of those that say, free agency is where you make up for mistakes. Calm yourself down. Tap the brakes. There's always a place, but so far, nothing here. But let's go on a fantasy end of things. Because Brock Osweiler going down to Houston, or DeMarco Murray to the Titans, the Jets and Matt Forte, so much more from Michael Fabiano. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm pounding along, man. Pounding along. Ready to get after it.
Yeah.
All right. So what jumped out at you first from a fantasy standpoint from all these moves?
Lamar Miller moving on to Houston. I think that's a great move for his fantasy value. He was actually a top 10 fantasy running back last season, but he was really inconsistent. And that kind of showed just how sort of unreliable and really how thin the running back position has become. But now he moves to Houston, where they want to run the football, and he's a versatile guy, had 47 catches last year, still young, 25 years old, really underutilized in South Beach. And if he is the featured back, which I assume that he will be, I'm not saying he's going to put up Arian Foster numbers, but I have him ranked sixth among running backs right now. And I really do think that Lamar Miller is going to be worth a late first, early second round pick this upcoming season.
He killed me last year, Michael. Absolutely killed me last year.
Yeah, you know, but the thing is, it was the running back position had very few guys who were really reliable. There were games where Lamar Miller put up huge numbers. And then there were other games where Miami didn't utilize him enough, where he was a disappointment. And I remember last year telling people to trade for him because his schedule was just a cakewalk at the end of the year. And some of the games he was good, some of the games he was a disappointment. But now in Houston, let's just put it this way. If he's going to ever truly break out and become a fantasy star, it should be in 2016.
All right, so where do you come down then on Osweiler? Let's stay with Houston, because everybody's got an opinion on this one. Bad move, good move. Where do you come down on Osweiler from a fantasy standpoint?
I mean, quarterback is so deep. I don't even have Osweiler ranked in my top 20, and that might change, but I haven't really seen enough from him. Everyone talks about the game that he played against New England, and that was certainly his best game career-wise. But the quarterback position is so deep, and I just haven't seen enough from him.
Right.
Will he be drafted as a QB2? In some leagues, sure, especially in leagues that are, you know, 12 teams, 14 teams. But I see him more as a guy who could be useful as a daily fantasy option, as someone who could end up being a matchup-based starter. And because remember, we're coming off a season where Kirk Cousins was the best quarterback in fantasy for the last, 4 weeks of the season. And he wasn't even drafted in most leagues. So the NFL, if nothing else, has proven that any good quarterback can be great from a fantasy perspective when the matchup is right. So Osweiler, certainly moving into a good situation. DeAndre Hopkins is there. Obviously, we just talked about Lamar Miller being there. But do I see Osweiler breaking out this year and being a top 10 fantasy quarterback?
No.
I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah, no would be the answer. At least on my end, it'd be no. You're a little more open-minded, and you're the expert on it.
Well, I've learned that anything is possible in the National Football League, so I would never say never. I mean, you know, if you had told me at the beginning of this past season that Kirk Cousins was going to be a more valuable fantasy quarterback than Andrew Luck, I would have, you know, fitted you for a straitjacket. But that's exactly what happens. So I don't see it. Doesn't mean it can't happen, but I need to see more. Osweiler's not someone that I'll be actively looking to draft. Let's put it that way.
Okay, so how do you factor then in, Michael, the Broncos' quarterback spot sitting there? No matter who they go get, do you say that guy's going to have some things that he's going to be able to work with in Denver? Okay, so is it no matter who they get? I know they brought Sanchez in, but that doesn't matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you see where I'm coming from on this? That no matter who they get, that guy is going to be somebody you're going to have an interest in, right?
Well, maybe Kaepernick, maybe Fitzpatrick. I'm not a fan of Mark Sanchez. I'm just not.
Sure.
Could he go into Denver and be a matchup-based starter or a DFS option? Sure. Is he someone that I'm going to target in my drafts? No. I'm actually more concerned about the players around whoever the quarterback is in Denver. How does this affect Demaryius Thomas? How does this affect Emmanuel Sanders? How does this affect whoever their running back might be? And to be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised if Denver eventually signed Arian Foster, because I don't know that they're going to match the offer that was made to C.J. Anderson, which I believe that deadline is today.
Today, yeah.
And then if you look at Demaryius Thomas, who is clearly the biggest fantasy player from a statistical standpoint in Denver, I mean, when he played with Peyton Manning, he averaged almost 13 fantasy points a game. When he played with Osweiler, he was averaging about 8. And anyone who tells you, oh, well, Demaryius Thomas put up good numbers with Tim Tebow. No, he didn't. Tim Tebow started 11 games with Demaryius Thomas, and he averaged 7.1 fantasy points. That's not good for a wide receiver of Demaryius Thomas's stature. He scored 4 touchdowns in 11 games that Tebow was the quarterback. So that is probably where the biggest effect is going to be felt, is in the value of Demaryius Thomas and the value of Emmanuel Sanders. Did the Broncos go out and get Colin Kaepernick? Well, maybe from a fantasy perspective, that's the best case scenario. But I mean, Colin Kaepernick hasn't certainly been a quarterback who's been reliable for fantasy fans in the last couple of years. In fact, he was waiver wire fodder
right
last season. So it's odd that the Denver Broncos just won the Super Bowl, and as we stand right now, the Houston Texans have a better offense than they do.
No, very you're right. But the thing is, if RG3 signs there today, what would your reaction be on that? Because I know where you're at on Kaepernick, and you mentioned Fitzpatrick. I mean, haven't heard you say RG3.
QB2. I don't – honestly, I mean, I try to connect the dots.
Sure.
So Mike Shanahan and Kyle Shanahan were in Washington when Robert Griffin III was there. I don't know that relationship was all roses. So Gary Kubiak, who is clearly very close to the Shanahans, I guarantee you they've had conversations about RG3, and I'm sure they weren't all positive. So I would think it's Kaepernick. I don't know that it's going to be Fitzpatrick, because Fitzpatrick is asking a lot of money, which he should be, because he's kind of got the leverage right now. But I just don't see RG3 going there. If I'm wrong and he goes to Denver, I mean, he's QB2 territory, but low-end QB2 territory. Let's look back at Robert Griffin III. He had a handful of really good games as a rookie. Since then, I mean, what has he done? Statistically, not too much.
Okay, so let me throw a couple running backs before we get out of here. DeMarco Murray, what do you make out of that one?
This was a very good fantasy trade. DeMarco goes from Philadelphia, where he was a disaster last season, to Tennessee, where they're going to be improving their offensive line, likely to take an offensive lineman in the first round with number 1 overall pick, and he's the guy. And we as fantasy fans like what? Featured backs. So he's not going to be the number 1 running back in fantasy football, much like he was in Dallas in 2014. But can he be a nice RB2? No question about that. Now, on the flip side, as it stands, Ryan Matthews looks like he'll be the featured back in Philadelphia, which adds to the depth of the position. And a little bit of that depth was lost when Chris Harvey went to Jacksonville and messed up that whole situation for fantasy owners with TJ Yeldon. But to be quite honest with you, I mean, you're looking at a situation now where Ryan Matthews and DeMarco Murray are both on the RB2 radar, Murray having a little bit more value. Now, who knows if the Eagles keep Matthews, try to trade him. Maybe they draft Ezekiel Elliott in the first round, and that throws a monkey wrench into everything. But as it stands, that was a good trade for both Murray and for Matthews.
How about Matt Forte?
I like the move. The Jets will utilize him, I believe, as a featured back, and he has said so much this week, in fact. And I know he's 30, and you see the trend of 30-year-old running backs who change teams who don't really succeed in terms of rushing yardage. In fact, the last running back to change a team at the age of 30 or older was Herschel Walker, and he was the last guy to have 1,000 yards in that scenario. But Matt Forte doesn't really need to have 1,000 yards rushing to succeed because he's a really good pass catcher as well. So even though they re-signed Bilal Powell and they added Kyrie Robinson, I don't really see those two running backs putting a huge dent in Forte's touches. And the Jets are clearly going after a win-now attitude because Forte is a little bit long in the tooth. I still see him as a low RB1, high RB2 with additional value in PPR leagues, but we need to see what the Jets do at that quarterback position, because if Geno Smith is under center, Forte might lose a little bit of his luster, but overall he's going to be picked in probably the second or third round in most leagues.
He reminds me a little bit, you're talking about his situation as to what Chris Johnson brought to the Cardinals this year. Here's an aging running back that's not going to get you 1,000 yards, but he still has gas left in the tank. That's what I see out of that situation.
Speaking of Cardinals running backs,
yeah,
everyone is in love with David Johnson, in love with him from a fantasy standpoint. And I've heard Bruce Arians say that he could be great in this league, and I hope he is, because the running back position lacks depth and it really needs a guy like David Johnson to come out and become the star that a lot of people think he will become.
Yeah, Andre Ellington's not going to be here next year, in my view. But that's
view. I mean, they need to add some depth at running back. I don't know if they're going to bring back CJ2K. Andre Ellington, you know, as much talent as he may have had coming out of school, you got to stay healthy. You got to stay on the field to make an impact, and he hasn't been able to do that.
Okay, before I let you go, then, now the combine is through. Draft is next month. You look at these rookie quarterbacks, who I know you're not big on rookie quarterbacks. As long as you and I have talked, it's just not your thing. Do you feel any different this year? Is just how it's shaping up with these rookie quarterbacks?
Nope. Not at all.
All right.
I mean, so one of the two big quarterbacks, you know, Wentz or Goff is going to go to the Browns unless they trade for Kaepernick. I mean,
right. You don't want that.
And end up starting for the Cleveland Browns. And, you know, I have friends who play for the Browns, but that offense has got question marks. And, you know, that's putting it lightly. Whoever isn't drafted by the Browns, assuming they don't acquire Kaepernick, maybe goes to the Niners.
Yep.
Potentially. They're going to need a quarterback if Kaepernick is dealt. And I just don't see there being an impact. I mean, you're looking where you typically look. Where does Ezekiel Elliott land? If he ends up with a team that's going to feature him, he's going to be in the conversation in the top 15 fantasy running backs. If Derrick Henry goes to, say, the Cowboys in the top of the second round, fantasy fans are going to be gushing over him. Wide receiver, I mean, Treadwell may be going to Detroit, potentially, or the Rams. He'll be drafted, but I don't know that he's going to make a massive fantasy impact. I don't really love this class outside of a few running backs. Let's just put it that. This is much more of a defensive class. There's a lot of talent on defense and not as much, I guess, immediate impact talent on the offensive side of the ball. So there will certainly be a number of rookie running backs drafted and rookie wide receivers drafted. I don't even know if there'll be one rookie quarterback drafted in a seasonal league. 10 and 12 teams, we'll see what happens. But I think running back is where the impact is going to be felt from the rookies, and it may just be a couple of players. Clearly, Elliott and Henry are going to be at the top of that list.
All right, good stuff. It's good to catch up with you. Nice to hear your voice.
Yeah, you too.
Things are well.
Yeah,
it seems like it looks like. I mean, you're on television still, so things are well. So,
yeah, things are great over at the network. We're incorporating a lot of fantasy into our. Into our daily TV content, which is always great. It just shows you that you know, fantasy football is
king.
Is strong and very popular with the fans, and I don't think that's going to change anytime soon.
See ya. Appreciate it as always. Thanks.
All right, pal. Take care.
Michael Fabiano, NFL Network senior fantasy analyst. Good to catch up with Michael. Pedro Gomez is on the other side, ESPN Baseball Insider. That's next. I'm Brad Sismat.
It's time to talk Arizona Diamondbacks and Major League Baseball with ESPN Insider Pedro Gomez. Here's Brad Sismat.
Always good to catch up with Pedro Gomez. I'm glad that he is here with me today because there has been a lot of overreaction since yesterday afternoon when Zach Greinke got batted around a little bit. And it's like, guys, it's spring. It's the third or fourth start. Just please relax. Please just go away. Get off my Twitter line. Get out of my social media space. The world is not coming to an end. Unless Pedro says, well, no, there's some real problems here. But I don't think he's going to say that. Here's Pedro. Hi.
Brad, you know, the thing with Greinke is he's never been a 95, 96 mile an hour guy. He is a 92-ish type guy. And, you know, there are times that he – look, veterans use spring training to work on things. So if he felt like, today I want to work on my curveball, today I want to work on my changeup, that's all he's doing. And he's trying to work on getting a feel. He does not have to worry about earning a roster spot.
Right.
You know, if it's Archie Bradley and he's getting batted around, I'd say, hey, there's cause for concern. Because Bradley is trying to get a spot, so he is doing everything in his power to pitch as well as possible to open eyes. But in Zach Greinke's case, no. He's there to work on things during spring training. We're a little over 2 weeks before the beginning of the season, and you know he's got about three or four starts left. He's probably going to use each one of these to, at least the next couple, to work on things. And he doesn't care what the result is because, let's face it, at the end, you know, when you open up somebody's stat page, they never show you spring training numbers.
Sure.
Only regular season numbers. So, yeah, there's absolutely no reason to worry about a veteran getting hit in spring training.
Okay, so we are coming towards the start of the regular season. We're just a couple of weeks away, Pedro, and you look around the Cactus League, and every week I ask you about this team or that team. So I want to turn it in this direction. Give me some storylines to you that have emerged as Cactus League has progressed now that we can start to see the end of spring training coming.
I like what the Indians are doing. The fact that Danny Salazar is emerging, and he's the number three guy in their rotation. When you take Kluber, Carrasco, and if Salazar can have that type of a season, boy, the Indians would be a very, very difficult matchup for a lot of clubs. So I think if Salazar can be consistent, that bodes very well for the Indians. I think when you look at a team like KC, and you know they've got like Chen Ming Wang in their camp, and all of a sudden he's jumped to about 93, 94 miles an hour. You know, that's not a rotation that jumps off the page at you. But if a guy like Chen Ming Wang can help the Royals in the rotation, that's already a great club, everything but the rotation. So if you add a guy like Wang and he can do that, that obviously would bode very, very well. I'd say on the other side, the flip side, I mean, the Giants not having Matt Cain yet, he's going to make his debut on Friday. Hunter Pence getting nicked again. You know, these are causes for concern because the Giants, as good as they are on paper, they can't have their star players go down. Mm-hmm. The depth just isn't there. So that obviously would open up some lanes, so to speak, for clubs like the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers to possibly, you know, jump in the pole position, so to speak. You know, the Dodgers, Justin Turner still has not fully recovered from the leg injury last year. Third base still, you know, a little up in the air. Chase Utley can go there, but at his age, I don't know that he can go there for long stretches of time. So there's some cause for concern there. I know that they can move Howie Kendrick over to third, but again, that's not a natural position for him. To fill in for a short term, yes. To fill in longer term, that's asking a lot out of both of those veterans. So, you know, there's it's like every year, there's always stories that kind of emerge and you pay attention, but they don't necessarily dictate anything for the regular season. Guys getting hurt, yes, that does dictate.
Yeah, guys like Jared Parker and Jared Weaver and
Jared Parker, Jesus, that's a horrible story.
Yeah,
I mean, horrible.
gets back on the mound and snap after, was it, 12 pitches. That's, you don't want to hear that.
Guys cannot stay healthy.
Let me flip this over as we're talking with Pedro Gomez, ESPN Baseball Insider. Goose Gossage, Bryce Harper coming into the news cycle. We can never predict in sports. That's what's great about sports, right? I never thought Goose Gossage and Bryce Harper would be linked together, but they are. And do you come down on the side of Gossage? Do you come down on the side of Harper? I come down in the middle, not on Gossage's initial comments. I thought those were foolish and sounded like get off my lawn guy. But I do think once he explained himself further about having gone through the tough stuff, the strikes and all of that, I thought that there was some good stuff there that he said. Where do you come down on Harper and Gossage this last week?
Well, I take a little bit of both. And not that I'm a centrist necessarily. I'm more along the lines of what, I'll be honest with you, I'm more along the lines of what Gossage said initially. I do think that you have overanalyzing taking place in baseball over the last few years, and and you're not really looking at the person and what he brings to the table. You're just looking at numbers, and numbers do not tell you what type of person that is inside. So I'm more inclined to go with Goose on that. Not everything, of course, because it is, like you say, it's the angry old man, get off my lawn type of stuff. But I think there is something to what he said. In Harper's case, yeah, I'm more likely to go toward the middle. I just think that, and you know what, Brad, at the end of the day, this is all good. We're talking baseball.
Yeah, no,
we're talking baseball. Yeah. We're talking about, hey, no, I believe this. No, I believe that. That's all good. This is good for the sport for it to be talked about along these lines.
But let me jump in here. But Bryce Harper saying, quote, baseball is tired. It's a tired sport. Does he have a point?
You see kids not as involved as they used to be with baseball.
Right.
Tired? No, I don't think it's tired by any means. But you don't see the young fans as much as when we were kids, let's say. And that is something that baseball is very concerned with. They are. The commissioner's office is concerned with that. So, Bryce Harper's a flashy type player. He is into bat flips and things like that. So, he's going to be an advocate for more emotion in the game, more personality in the game. And I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. I don't think football was ruined at all by touchdown celebrations. And there was a time when those were coming in vogue that a lot of old school, old guard football players said, this is going to be the downfall of the game. The game is more popular than ever. I'm not saying it's because of the celebrating, but it attracts a certain demographic. And I think you still keep the true fan of the game. They may shake their heads at it, but they're not going to leave the sport. So, it's something that football went through about 20, 30 years ago, and I think baseball may be at the very beginning of going through a similar stage.
But wasn't some of this when Puig came up, okay, and Puig is a different case than Bryce Harper. Like if Puig said this, I don't think it would
polarizing.
Gain. Yeah, totally different. But Puig was doing some things when he first came up that had even old ball players, old school ball players, not happy at all with him. Okay, but he can't grab the whole sport. Like Bryce Harper, as you pointed out accurately, it's been front page stuff for over a week now of what Bryce Harper said, and it's not going away. And he's about the only guy, I think, that could have that type of voice in the game at this day and age.
And kudos to him for taking the stage, because a lot of times you see young ball players who want nothing to do with anything halfway controversial. So
right.
I applaud him for saying, no, I want to talk about this. I don't think that's a bad thing at all. And in this particular case, I think we are seeing a changing of the guard, so to speak. You're right. Puig came in, had no credentials whatsoever to be doing what he was doing. And that really offended a lot of people as well. The fact that he had never done anything, and who is he to do this? Bryce Harper has already, in a short period of time, accomplished quite a bit. And so he's going to get more latitude than a guy like Puig coming in and doing things the first week that he was in the big league. So
is Harper saying get rid of the code? Is that what he's saying without saying it? And you know what I mean by that, the code of the game. You know what I mean by that.
Absolutely, absolutely. You have to act a certain way. You have to, and it's a fine line. And I've talked to players this spring already about a lot of these things. And a lot of them who you'd think would be way against this have told me, it's okay. I'm not completely opposed to it, but you can't go overboard. Now it comes down to who decides what is overboard and what isn't. So this is where I think baseball is finding itself in a quandary, so to speak, of what is acceptable and what's a little too much. Mm-hmm. But I think like anything, there's only one way to find that out, and that's to go through the process. And I think that's where baseball is just at the tipping, the starting edge of finding out, okay, where can we go with this?
Well, it's really fascinating because I agree with you. I think
this is
not going to go away. This is not going to go away on opening day. This is just, and it's.
Oh, I think we're going to be talking about this in May and June and July.
Sure.
Brad,
the All-Star game. I think Bryce Harper shows up at the All-Star game and maybe has a little bit more to him. He's talking about style and what guys are wearing and post-game press conferences. I mean, it's very forward thinking when hearing what he said.
It's almost very NBA-ish.
No, you're right. You're right. And some people will not like that.
I agree. Some people won't, but things evolve. Things evolve. And I think we're at a next evolution in the game right now.
I'll let you go off that. Appreciate your time and your insight as always. Thanks.
Brad, we'll talk to you next week.
There's Pedro Gomez, ESPN Baseball Insider. Appreciate his time. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. So there's this tournament that is trying to compete against March Madness that I want to get to. And also a good story about Sean Miller. So we'll have some college basketball next. Stay with us. This is good stuff with Pedro. If you missed any part of today's show, and with Michael Fabiano as well, Michael was with us doing free agency and fantasy football earlier. It was good, too. So tonight, it's going to be Vanderbilt and Wichita State. I wouldn't have thought that'd be on my viewing calendar, but I'm going to watch some of it with U of A, of course, getting the winner. There's another tournament. I don't know if you heard about this. So the CIT that Grand Canyon University is playing in, so they won their game last night. Eric, you said they're playing, you think, at home to Thursday?
Thursday. I believe they're playing Jackson State in the second round on Thursday.
So there was a time where it was just the NCAA tournament and the NIT. And what's happened now is people are seeing a business model, and that's fine. It's fine. They see a weakness or they see an opportunity, go for it. And one of the opportunities is yet another postseason basketball tournament that is not the CIT, that is not the NIT, it's not the NCAA's. It is called the Vegas 16. Now, the Vegas 16 was put together by some investors and Jim Livengood. We have found the bracket for Vegas 16. That is the bracket. Now, I'm counting the teams in the Vegas 16. I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I count.
That's half the bracket.
No, that's the bracket.
What do you mean that's the bracket?
That's Jim Livengood.
That's the half. That's half, and then just like on the right side of the screen. No.
Former U of A athletic director, former UNLV athletic director said we don't have enough teams. So the Vegas, but you had a good point on this. So we don't rehearse this very often, but I told this to Eric before the show started. I said, go find the Vegas 16, and he looked at it, and your thought was.
What they could have done, or maybe it was their intention to call it the Vegas 16, not necessarily 16 teams, but
2016,
the year 2016. I mean, it would have been nice if they would have put Vegas, you know, little dash thing 16 or Vegas 2016. It says 16, which you're right. That would lead most people to believe that it would be like the Sweet 16.
There's 16 teams. So they could have got away with it.
But when you are kind of, you know, scratching the bottom of the barrel, with Tennessee Tech and Northern Illinois.
What's wrong with Tennessee Tech?
Oakland. Oakland's a tournament team.
Sure.
Most of the time. But yeah, it's okay. It's Oakland fine. But yeah, like
Oakland and Michigan, not Oakland and Oakland.
It used to be like the March Madness and then the NIT, and now there's all these little cousins
little tournaments.
And stepbrothers and stepsister tournaments.
Like GCU will never again play in the CIT once they get NCAA tournament.
Never.
I don't think they'll ever play.
I don't think so either.
We had a bite from the play-by-play call of the guy from Cal State Bakersfield. They got in the tournament on a buzzer beater.
I saw that.
This guy was
big upset over New Mexico State.
This guy was giving birth on the air. It was awesome. Just he couldn't even control. He couldn't breathe. Then there's this story about Sean Miller. Now Pete Thamel with Sports Illustrated is one of my favorite writers. Pete goes very deep. Pete does not always just do the obvious stuff that's out there. Pete goes, I'd say, and finds a storyline, and he's not going to tell me, hey, U of A needs to rebound better and shoot better. No joke. Got it. That's low-hanging fruit. Might lead to some clicks. Not into that. Pete Thamel did a big takeout piece yesterday on Sean Miller. Sean Miller, I think we have a picture of Sean, so, and I don't know how current this is. He looks pretty good there. Sean Miller has lost 40 pounds since last August.
It's crazy you say that because I was watching his press conference Sunday for the story we put up on Sports 360 AZ, and I just sort of noticed, like, he looks really thin. Like, and I kind of had a double take, like, wow, I wonder if he's lost weight. And then sure enough, the story came out. So,
well, you could have lost weight with this team that he had this year because that team has been as up and down as any team.
And you know how many coaches around the country would kill for that kind of team?
Yeah, I know. Really.
Oh, man, you're a sixth seed and you've won over 20 games again and you're in the tournament again. And yeah.
So he was at Del Mar last August for the horse races with his family, and he couldn't button his pants. And that was his wake-up call that, you know what, I guess he has a penchant for eating Swedish fish while he's breaking down tape. True story. Swedish fish. You guys ever do the Swedish fish thing?
It's candy, by the way. At first, I was thinking to myself, well, if you're eating fish, you should not be gaining weight.
No, it's the Swedish fish. These little red thingies.
Yeah, I know. I got you.
I've had four kids. You know, I Swedish fish, that's the bomb, man. But he was doing that, and he was doing the, you know, the grab some chips or whatever, and he decided to wake up. He's dropped 40. Looks great. And his team, I think, can go on a run. I really do. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. On our website right now, there's plenty of content. High school, college, pro college, high school. Things that we see around the state of Arizona. We're just a little bit off center from everything else that's out there. I like to say that we are Sprouts and Whole Foods in a world of Walmart. You know what you can get on a very high-end basis from us day in and day out. 4 years now getting it done. We appreciate the partnership with AZ Central Sports and all of our partners. Fox Sports Arizona tonight. Well, Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. That'll be on the show tonight with Lee Steinberg talking about Paxton Lynch. You know the Cardinals met with Paxton Lynch? They did. Thanks for being with us.